When the time had fully come, peace came to earth. God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law so that we might become the full rights of sons. Amen. Today we want to follow these two verses from Luke chapter 2. If you'd like to look, you can find them on page 9. They're verses 6 and 7, where the holy writer Luke said, "While they," that's Mary and Joseph, "were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." The words of God. In the name of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who came from heaven above down to earth to bear good news and bring good news to every home, my dear Christian friends. You know, when I was a kid, we had, you know, Christmas traditions, Christmas Eve traditions, family traditions. And the congregation in which I grew up was similar to Redeemer in that they had a Sunday school. They had a Lutheran grade school. And on Christmas Eve, every single year, the children of the Sunday school in the Lutheran elementary school all got together. And they would memorize their Bible verses, and they would sing their Christmas songs, and they would tell the Christmas story in the children's Christmas program every year on Christmas Eve. And it was always about 6 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock at night, about the time service was over, you had about 200 kids sprinting out the aisle to the entryway, where in the narthex of church there was a whole team of elders, and they were waiting there with these great big bags that they would give to the children, kind of like the reward, you know, for having done the children's program. And inside these little lunch bags, brown paper bags, there were goodies and treats. There were peanuts, you know, and there was candy canes and little pieces of Hershey's Kisses and different Christmas candies. They always had those popcorn balls. You know those things? That if you waited for like 3 days after you got them, they were hard as a rock, and you bit into them, and you needed like dental work on your Christmas vacation. There was always an orange inside the bag. There had to be like a mom and the PTA that said, "You got to give those kids some vitamin C." Funny the things that stick with you, you know? I think I remember the Christmas bags after church as part of the Christmas tradition, not because of what's in the bag, but because of what it represented. I was so happy to be done memorizing all that stuff, which seemingly we did for like 14 months. I was so happy to be on Christmas vacation. No school for 2 weeks. Yay! But I think I was happiest, probably, when you were a kid. I think this is typical of kids. I was going home because there was seriously... Our family tradition was serious. You go home and there was a mother load of presents. And that's when we opened them, on Christmas Eve, every year. When I say there was a mother load of presents, I mean that my mother was the one who did like all the purchasing and the buying for all of the presents. And my mom was fantastic at this, but you know, she, on a preacher's salary, you know, she kind of stored up things for your cupboard and your closet for the foreseeable future, and in case there was like nuclear war, you know. So at Christmas time, we would get things like bed sheets. And you know, really, really interesting to children, presents like socks. And you would get shoes that were for the following year, that were in like a size too big for you to wear on Christmas. My mother hand-wrapped everything. Everything looked absolutely pristine and spectacular. Now, in my family, there were 7 kids. So when I say there were a mother load of presents, and she saved up like the whole year for like the next 6 or 9 months, there were like 10 or 12 or 15 gifts that my mom all hand-wrapped for all 7 kids, plus mom, plus dad. I mean, it took up like a whole wing in the house. This was a 3 or a 4 hour ordeal, the gift exchange, on Christmas Eve. There was one year, you know, as the kids get older, they try and game the system and they shake the boxes to see what's in them. There was one year where my mom wrapped all the presents in like a roll of wrapping paper individually designated per kid. and none of the gifts were labeled, no names. Only my mom's brain knew which kid had which roll of wrapping paper. And so the children would go and they would figure out, well, these presents by the shape and size and the sound, this looks like the cooler set of presents. And we would start bartering, you know, all the presents. Well, if this is mine, I'll trade with you because I think this presents is better. Now, juxtaposed against all of these presents that my mom hand-wrapped for all seven kids, plus mom and dad, were my dad's gifts. Now, some of you know my dad, and you probably also know that my dad is not the kind of guy who is of the opinion that buying a $7 roll of wrapping paper from Hallmark is good stewardship. So he wrapped all of his Christmas presents in newspaper. In newspaper. And so you have all of the gifts from mom looking pristine and spectacular and immaculate. And here's my dad's gifts all wrapped in newspaper. And my dad, pragmatist that he is, they were all the same gift. They were all Bibles. They were all hymnals. They were all crosses or some type of Christian art. And the only thing that was written on them was your name. Because everybody knew who they were from. I remember the kids, and even my mom joined in teasing my dad because they looked so, you know, shabby. Some years we would even, like, try to guess what was inside the present based on the newspaper article that was on the cover of the present. My dad took a beating because of the way that the gift looked on the inside. But you see, here's the memory. Here's the memory. I learned from the time I was little on that it's not what the gift is wrapped in or what it looks like on the outside, but it's the present that's on the inside. And even more importantly, it's the heart. It's the loving heart of the person who gave it to you that really, really makes the difference. Look, I say this because we still argue and fight about these things today. You know, how long has it been? 15 years, 20 years, longer? That people, they don't wrap presents anymore. You know, that's an investment of time. That's an investment of money. To wrap, hand wrap all of those different presents. So now people, in the sake of expediency, hey, American culture, they buy a bag. A Christmas bag that has, you know, various Christmas decorations on it. And that seems, you know, to be a little bit impersonal. So you can't just put a gift and plop it in a bag and say, here, Merry Christmas. You have to, you know, like fluff it up with tissue paper that's red or green. And then you kind of like roll it in a ball and you kind of puff it up like, you know, Rocky Mountain peaks. Well, now it's much more exciting of a present with the tissue paper, right? I've listened to conversations between people who have argued that this is an illegitimate way to exchange gifts. They will say, if you love somebody, you've got to hand wrap the gift. You can't give a gift to somebody that's in a bag. Hand wrapping the gift says, I love you. If you give it to them in a bag, it says, I like you a lot. Well, this is not a thing. The gift on the inside is the valuable thing. You know what it looks like on the outside? What difference does it make what it looks like on the outside? If it's actually true that what the gift is wrapped in and what it looks in the like on the outside is an indicator of what's on the inside, well, then we got to read these verses from the Bible and say nobody should care about Jesus. Nobody. Nobody. Did you read this? He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He wrapped tightly in cloth, and he was laid in a manger. The manger! The Son of God was laid in a manger. I still talk to healthcare professionals today. You know, the people who work in the NICU, the people who, you know, the gloves and the masks and the germophobes, you know, all these people, the healthcare people, the doctors and the nurses and everybody, and they say, Jesus was laid in a manger. How can you get more unsanitary than that? And they kind of turn pale. And they, like, you know, throw up in their mouth a little bit. How can you lay the Son of God in a manger? This is not proper way for a child to come into the world. You see, but Christmas has nothing to do with the wrapping, does it? Christmas has to do with the heart of God our Father, who gave us the gift of his own son wrapped in these cloths and laid in a manger. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave us his one and only son. But you know how this works. You know how this works in our culture. You've probably done it from the time you were a little kid. People will judge the gift based on its wrapping. They will do it. Maybe you do it still today, even when you're an adult. Kids, come on, level with me. You're doing this now, aren't you? You've got presents under the tree. You shake them, don't you? You squeeze them. If they're inside of a box, it's kind of harder to figure out. But if it's not inside of a box, you feel it in your, oh, this is clothes. This is definitely clothes. And you start trading it with your brother or your sister, or you put it in mom's or dad's stack. I don't want clothes. It's boring. How about a game? How about something interesting? What about a little wow factor? People do the same thing with Jesus. They look at a text like this and they say, there's no God who is wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. That's ridiculous. And they treat Jesus as though he's no king at all. They treat Jesus as though he's not, you know, worthy or valuable to be worshipped. They treat Jesus like he should be bartered away or traded away to some other kind of thing, relegated to like a back seat in life if he's even in the car at all. People do this. See, they look at the baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes and they say, you know, I don't want something wrapped in swaddling clothes. And maybe the reality is that it's just because people like you and me and other people out in the world, we're just, you know, we're attracted by different kinds of wrapping in life. Maybe it's because, you know, people like you and me, we're wrapped up in things in life. We're wrapped up in things like our jobs. How can I have time for Jesus in my life? How can I have a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes? Do you understand what kind of demands my boss is? Do you know what kind of an ogre he is? I don't have time for Jesus. I can't have time for Jesus. I'm wrapped up in my job. Some people are wrapped up in your families. I got company from out of town. What do you expect? Sometimes people get wrapped up in like the things of this world, you know, materialism and hedonism and pleasure and greediness and this kind of thing. People are wrapped up in this kind of stuff. It's everywhere. How is it possible that we will brag and we will talk and we will, you know, say to people, do you know that I know the first name of my UPS driver by name? Because every 2 days, Amazon Prime delivers a new present to my house. I know the driver by name. We can say that, and we'll talk about that. But we will never talk about the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe the worst one of all is that we're just wrapped up in ourselves. Look, I think the world revolves around me. You think the world revolves around you. This is not an uncommon thing. Selfishness. We're just wrapped up in ourselves. How in the world can we have time for a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? It's so, you know, unattractive. It's so, you know, beneath us. If it were me who was coming into the world, angels would play trumpets and they would sing beautiful, regal, royal sounds. Because don't you understand that the world revolves around me? Look, what are these things other than little idols that are placed in my life and in yours that kick Jesus out of the place that he deserves in our life and are things that trip us up when it comes to recognizing the baby who's wrapped up in the manger? Well, now you know exactly why God the Father so loved the world, don't you? That is precisely why God said, it's got to stop now. I've got to send somebody into this world and put an end to all this idolatry. I'm not going to take it anymore. I am not satisfied that people are going to be separated from me because of their sins. Not because of their idolatry, not because of any sins. I am going to rip apart heaven and earth, and I'm going to insert my own son into the world, and he's going to be born in a barn. He's going to be laid in a manger, and he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes because Jesus has come to earth to be entirely invested and wrapped up in you. Don't you understand what he's done? He's been wrapped up in you, in your humanity, in your human flesh. Jesus Christ, eternal God. We just read it in John chapter 1. The Word of God became flesh. He became wrapped up in humanity. And there's a simple reason why he had to be. Because God can't die. Jesus became wrapped up in human flesh for you because he needed to go to the cross of Calvary because he needed to take on the sins of the world. And there on the cross of Calvary, not only was he wrapped up in human flesh, but he was wrapped up in something far uglier and far worse. Jesus wrapped himself up in all of our sins. Everyone. Every sin. Jesus wrapped himself up so that God could curse Jesus and abandon him to hell so that he wouldn't have to curse you and abandon you to hell. Don't you see what's going on in Christmas? My prayer for you, as it is every single year, is that we will look at this manger, this baby in the manger, and we will realize there is something far deeper, far more meaningful that's going on there than just a baby, an ordinary baby wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. This is God rending the heavens and stepping into our world selflessly, sacrificially, to take on our flesh and pay for sin. Don't you understand that it's because God was wrapped up in you that makes Christmas? Boy, you sure hope, don't you, that every single soul, the ones in here and the ones that aren't here, that every single soul will pause just for a minute and they will look again at this present, this gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And you hope that they'll take another look at it, because maybe this is the kind of gift that's, you know, been cast aside because we're more interested in other things in this world and life, you know, that look prettier. Take another look at this manger, at this baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and look after you peel off the swaddling clothes and see the eternal Son of God who has come into your world to save you from sin. Because there's a treasure there. There's a treasure there. Because I'm convinced that once you take a little bit of a closer look at the Jesus Christ who was wrapped up in humanity and wrapped up in our sins so that we might be forgiven and saved, I'm convinced that this Christmas is kind of like the flag in the ground. When you see who it is who's come into the world at Christmas time, then isn't it time for me and for you to get wrapped up in Jesus? If Jesus got wrapped up for you because he is totally invested in your salvation and in your forgiveness and your eternity, then this Christmas, let's get wrapped up in Christ. You realize what that means? Then get wrapped up in his forgiveness. John the Baptist, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Get wrapped up in Jesus' perfection and his holiness. The Bible says this. In him, in Jesus, there was no sin. We heard a little bit earlier, Gabriel said to Mary, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a sinful nature. He is the holy Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Get wrapped up in Jesus' love, in his truth, in his forgiveness. Get wrapped up in his victory. My goodness, this is the same Jesus who said on the cross, it's finished. And then on the third day, rose again from the dead and said, because I live, you also will live. Not death, not hell, not Satan, not the devil, not any other enemy stands in our way. Because this Jesus Christ, God's own Son, has conquered them all. If Jesus Christ has come to this world to get wrapped up in you, then get wrapped up in Jesus. Well, what else does that mean other than believing in him and devoting your life to him? What else does that mean than sweeping clean our hearts and repenting of whatever things have been idolatrously placed in front of Christ? What does it mean to say get wrapped up in Jesus other than to say right now, here and now, Jesus Christ takes priority in my life. He lives in my heart and he will have a room. And not the guest room, but the throne room. Jesus rules my heart and my life, and there is nothing. There is not a job. There is not family. There is not me. There is not the world. There is nothing that will dislodge or remove Jesus Christ from being number one in my life. I worship him regularly, and I will dedicate and devote my life to him in the same way that he has dedicated and devoted his life to me. Selflessly, sacrificially, he poured out his body and soul for me so that I might live. This Christmas time, the baby in the manger has come to get wrapped up in you. He is totally committed and invested. So then, let's get wrapped up in Jesus. The things you remember, you know, from your childhood. An entire devotion tonight inspired by what? Presents wrapped in newspaper. You know, I was thinking back. This is true. Moms and dads love you with this impossible love. And they buy you stuff you need for the time. I was trying to look back and remember what of all the presents that I got from the time I was whatever, 2 or 3 or 4 and could remember them until I was whatever, 18 or something and out of the house, what do I still have? You know what I think I still have? I think I have the Bibles and the hymnals that my dad wrapped up in newspaper. But everything else I've outgrown or it's gone the way of all flesh. You know what you have this Christmas? You've got the Son of God who is wrapped tightly in cloth and laid in a manger. You've got a Savior who took on human flesh and was totally invested and wrapped up in you to forgive you your sins. To establish peace between you and God. To establish an eternal kingdom that will carry on into eternity. Get wrapped up in that God. Or as we've already sung tonight, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Amen.